So, firstly, first, gentlemen, just only 2 days ago, you played Rotterdam here in the Netherlands. First thoughts, what was it like?
Was cool. We've never been to Rotterdam. I think everything in Amsterdam was booked up, so we moved over a little bit to a new town, but it was incredible. The show sold out. And it was like a while ago, which is cool to go to a city for the first time and have that sort of turnout was amazing.
And the show, what is it like? You're in the, well, at the tail end, I suppose, of the European show. So where is the band now in terms of playing live? Are you running on full force at the moment?
Oh yeah, we're feeling good. I'm gonna get a shot in my butt actually this evening, a little steroid shot to
Woo! He's getting it from me.
just but no, we're for the most part feeling pretty healthy.
Okay, that's good to hear. Now, obviously, you have a new album out, and the last time I spoke to you was with the debut album. So a lot has happened since then. So I want to start with some of the kind of more general questions, which is the first thing is you decided to go independent. What was the reasoning behind it? Was it creative control? Was it something else?
I think it was just it felt like right to us. We signed a 4-album deal with Universal Music and we gave them 4 albums and we loved our time there. Honestly don't have too many complaints, but I think when it was time to re-sign, we just felt like we would like to try it independently. For I guess a few reasons, but mainly just I just think that it's allowed us to make creative decisions quickly, move quickly. A lot of times, if the ship is a lot bigger, it takes a longer time for it to turn, and it allowed us to, I guess, creative control. Even though we always have had total creative control, it just felt like we could make decisions quickly and then move on them, and it's been awesome so far. A lot more work,
It's
you
been
know. It's a lot more work on
well,
our
that would be my second question because it
Yeah.
involves all of a sudden you have to do everything yourself. So how did that affect kind of your day to day?
I was just saying, I feel like it made us better because now we're just more intentional about every decision. So we know it kind of is on us, and so we got to execute. And so now we're just digging deeper to make it a really amazing thing on our own.
Now, and one of those decisions that you were able to make is to change some of the artwork and the album title. And what I found interesting about that, I don't know where this is from, maybe an Instagram post, but you mentioned that you were desperate to find and grace perfection. And this is kind of inherently, I suppose, part of being an artist is doubt. So being able to act on quickly act on your ideas. How has that affected your relationship with doubt in this sense?
That's a cool
It's
question.
a little bit, I hope I worded that right because it didn't sound right in my head, but
I know obviously like perfection is unattainable, and I think like when we use that word, we just mean like finished, I guess. Like we feel satisfied. And I think, we spent 2 years making this album and we second guessed most everything, like probably a good artist would, you know? Is that really the right thing we should be doing there? Let's explore this other thing just so that we know. Let's try this just to make sure. And we did that with the track list. We did that with the production. We did that with the lyrics. We did it with everything. And when it came to the album art and the album title, it was the same. And we both had a moment at the same time where we felt like it needed to change, and we were able to do it. And I think it was absolutely worth it. It re-energized everything around the album, and almost woke up our fan base in a sense. And yeah, it's been great. I think, whatever we make here on Earth is going to outlive our time here. And you know, so Jake and I want to try to make things that age well and last for a long time. And that's how we felt about, that's how we feel about the new cover and title.
You mentioned waking up the audience a little bit. Can you explain that a little bit more? In what sense?
Well, I just think it's interesting, like nobody really even had an opinion on the original cover. It wasn't until we changed it that people wanted to voice their opinion of either like that they loved it or that they hated it. And I just think really like all great art causes conversation. And there wasn't much conversation around the first cover. But then, like when we released the new cover, there was like a great debate amongst the fans, which is awesome, you know.
And I assume it's more about letting people interpret it the way they can rather than kind of telling them what it is. Is that fair to say?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it can just be like a blue oval with the black background. Or it can be, you know, an airplane window, or it can be a mirror. It's abstract in that way. But the main thing is that we love it. And I think that's important, you know, because at the end of the day, we can't control how anyone feels about anything we do. And so that's not even worth our time thinking or considering. We just have to follow our heart and follow our instinct and our gut. And that's something that we've stayed really true to since the beginning.
And that's interesting because whenever you start an album, then in this case, it was I think you said 2 years ago or so you started. There have been some changes. You lost a band member, although that I believe didn't have that big of an effect, at least from the creative process side. But how do you kind of find the balance then between figuring out what you want to do, but also being true to yourself? And kind of evolving, but also staying true to yourself, if that makes sense.
Well, I think they're one and the same because, like, if you evolve, it's yourself evolving, you know? I think like everything about Lainey, just everything that comes from Lainey comes from Jake and I, and always has and always will. So as long as we're making it, it's going to be true to us, you know? It's been cool to hear Jake talk about things a little bit, but he talks about a few of the things that he's most proud of on this album is our intention and our range and how we were able to like stretch the sound of Lainey, but yet not lose the feeling of who we are and who Lainey is. And I'd have to agree, you know. There's a lot of different flavor on this album and a ton of evolution. If you listen to this album versus our first EP, it's clear. The evolution is clear. I don't know what word you would describe it, but it's palpable. It's tangible.
Yeah, I think one of the
Go ahead.
I was gonna say one of the greatest gifts I think is we know what we're not. And so it's all about us just trying stuff and seeing what sticks, and then we definitely know what doesn't stick. So when it's working, we dive headfirst, we go all the way with it. And then yeah, sometimes it's like, ah, yeah, that's not us. So let's move on from that. So it's good that we know who we are.
What does an average kind of session between the two of you look like then? Is it pure experimentation and then anything goes?
Yeah, I would
Yeah,
say definitely.
definitely.
Yeah, and most days we're fully aligned. I kind of love that Jake and I have a lot of things in common. You know, we have a lot of, so there's not a ton of things that we disagree on, but every now and then, one of us will push back on the other. But I also love that we're both pretty gentle with each other. So it's like, would you mind just trying this thing for me really quick? So like, versus, you know, and I just think it's really cool. It's all out of like respect and love.
Yeah, we're good to throw everything at the wall because sometimes, especially if I'm throwing something at the wall in my head, I'm like, this is going to be maybe the stupidest idea I've ever had, but Paul will let me try it. And then I'm like, yeah, that was stupid. Let's not do it.
Well, Jake, can you give me an example then of something that felt like it was too crazy maybe, but it ended up working?
Ended up working. Man, I think one thing that's really fun is when we're done, I honestly don't know whose idea was what because we're just so deep in it. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, don't know.
It's pretty weird to get to the end of congrats and just detune the Moog to a completely different key. I just think that was kind of like the wave that we were on. Like, we just wanted to try everything. And
oh, I have one thing.
Okay, go.
One thing. So one song that took a long time to figure out the mood of the song is Heartbreak Can Wait. And I remember that song, every now and then a song like really keeps me up at night until we know what the song is and where we need to take it. And I remember coming in one day and I thought about, we were listening a lot to Kanye and listening to Jail. And there's like some guitar stuff that's constant throughout the song. And I remember coming in one day, I was like, what if we had a constant guitar thing? And Paul, what if you play it? And usually Paul's like, no, I'm not a guitar guy. I don't know. I'm like, no, it's going to be perfect. And like the first thing you played is the whole song of Heartbreak Can Wait. It's just in the background the whole time. So that was fun. And I think we voice memoed it and then put it into our tracking session in Pro Tools. And so that was a fun little day.
For you, Paul, what is it like picking up the guitar? Because I know you've been classically trained in piano. What is your relationship with the guitar?
I wish it was better. I wish I was better at it. I think it's like such an amazing instrument. And it's one of my favorite instruments too. It's just so versatile, you know, can really bend the sound of a guitar in so many directions. But every now and then, you know, I think it is cool. One thing in the beginning is, well, I played a lot of the guitar on the beginning of our songs just because we didn't know anyone. We also didn't have a budget for anyone to come in and play. And there was a beauty to letting our limitations define our art. And it's something that I'm not against almost going back to. And Jake and I have discussed it for the next album, is trying to get as far down the line as possible on the album without any outside help. It would be a fun exercise. How much of it can we do just between Jake and I? And then at the very end, have maybe a guitar player who's much better than both of us come in and kind of play the specific parts we really need.
Well, that's an interesting point because, we talked about it becoming a duo between the two of you, but obviously you've grown as musicians over the years quite a bit. So can you share something that you were able to use this time around, something that you've learned along the way, something that sticks with you?
Definitely. For me, over the last few albums, being surrounded by a couple keys players that were of course, better than me, but also just so different from me. There's a guy named Chad Copeland who, when we were making Mama's Boy, he just really harped on the importance of voicings, specifically what was on top. And it was a cool exercise for me. And then a guy named Ian Fitzchuk, who we just wrote a couple songs with, but watching him play the piano in a really unorthodox way, treating it more of like a texture than like a melody, was really cool. And it's something that we actually wound up doing quite a bit on this album. I would play a motif or an arpeggiation of sorts, and then we would run that through this plugin called Portal that would randomize certain things, and we could get really specific with it. Mm-hmm. And that was what I got. It got really exciting for me because you think about bending the sound of a guitar a lot. Everyone does it, right? But to really morph the sound of the piano, it can be a little bit more tricky, a little more difficult. And that's something that we kind of did quite a bit on this album, created a lot of textures in the background from the actual piano.
Okay. For you, Jake?
I would say also for Paul, he messed around a lot with the OP1 from Teenage Engineering. You love that thing, and that's all over our record, which is sick. And I think one thing for both of us is when something feels right, to kind of stop there, versus like a lot of times when if you hear like a demo and something is just it feels amazing, and then the final product loses all the soul to it. It's like if we did something that feels right but isn't necessarily like on the grid or like perfectly in time to let it be like that, our producer really encouraged us on that, because like especially Paul on keys, me on drums, I want to feel perfect because I've been playing it all my life. But learning how things that aren't perfect can really have a beautiful like weight and power to it, and to like let it sit there versus trying to tweak it. So that was
That's an
fun.
interest. That's definitely an interesting point, and it goes along with Paul, what you said about the textures as well. Because how do you find the balance whenever you're songwriting in kind of setting an atmosphere, creating a vibe versus the technical aspects of what it makes what is necessary to make the music?
I don't like to go too far down the line on production. I find that when a song, especially in the embryonic stage when you're writing it, if it starts to lean too much on the production, then it's probably not that good of a song. So my favorite writing days are with people who understand that going into it, that we're not here to obsess over like snare sounds and hi-hats and like things like that. We're here to obsess over lyric and melody. And I think the demos that I can bring to Jake that are as bare bones as possible are normally the ones that we are more willing to explore in the studio. Because I think if a song can stand alone with a guitar and a voice, or a piano and a voice, so that I don't like to try to paint too much of the picture without Jake, if that makes sense.
And I think that's so cool too. Back to that guitar part and Heartbreak Can Wait. If Paul had been playing guitar for 30 years, you wouldn't hear like the cry in that acoustic line that he's playing. It'd probably be more on the technique side of things. Like if we had the guy that played on most of our record, he's just like a savant. But the fact that Paul came in there, he knew the sentiment of the song, and you can like feel like that guitar part's almost like crying. Because the way he's playing it with so much emotion versus technique.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, as you mentioned, if this is kind of the idea for the next couple of songs to limit test yourself almost. It's going to be very interesting to see what you come up with. Well, before I let you go, I want to delve into a couple of songs, if that's okay. Because you mentioned, well, we focus on melody and lyrics, and obviously you've written quite a bit about love and heartbreak. Is there an aspect of love which is so broad, I suppose, but is there an aspect that you still want to delve into that you haven't really?
That's a great question. I have a couple ideas written to my phone that I think would be really fun to explore. I don't know if like they're put together well enough for me to articulate now.
Sure.
But yeah, I think there's quite a few songs on this album that have nothing to do with love at all.
Right.
Sugar and Sugar and Cinnamon, Home Is Where the Hurt Is, It Even Rains in LA, Saturday Night, 3:22 a.m., Alonica. So it's cool. But life is complex and humongous, and there are so many little moments between milestones that are worth exploring and paying attention to. And I think I'll spend the rest of my life and still never run out of ideas, you know?
Yeah. There's a line in Home Is Where the Hurt Is, two choices, stay or leave, which is kind of I love that Thunder Road, Bruce Springsteen sentiment. This is a town full of losers, and I'm
Nice.
pulling out of here to win. It's kind of that sentiment. When for the both of you, because Jake, I believe you're from Arkansas, and Paul, you're from Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken.
Sir. Yeah.
So for the both of you, what was the impetus? What was the spark that made you feel like I need to get out of here?
Can we go first, Jake?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I loved growing up there because there was not a whole lot to do, so I just got to obsess over drums and music and playing in bands with my best friends. But when I was about to graduate high school and thinking about college, I had the opportunity to stay in Arkansas at a college or go to Nashville, you know, Music City, Nashville,
Sure.
and study under amazing drummers. And that was a moment where I knew life could go somewhere where my dreams were going if I went to Nashville and not stayed in Arkansas, just being in a city where there's opportunities. And so I had to go chase it. Now we're here.
Yeah, I would say that very similar to me, you know, not a ton going on where I'm from, which is good because I guess I had music and didn't get into too much trouble. I was just kind of obsessed with playing music and stuff. And I just I could see even early on, like with some of the kids that I went to high school with and those that were staying, like planning to kind of stay, that we were just super different. And I didn't think that like staying in Oklahoma would serve me and my purpose and like what I wanted. And so I also went to Nashville, and then I wound up going to LA about a year before Jake, maybe, or a couple, actually just maybe 6 months. And but yeah, I'm so glad I did. I just think that I knew that it was a big world out there, but I hadn't seen it yet because I was from a small town and I was excited to see it.
And what I find interesting then is what my favorite song on the album is Alonica, and that there you kind of mention that LA is getting cold, and so this is, it's kind of that love hate relationship. And I know the song is kind of more about self acceptance, but can you talk about the mindset in that song?
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm coming up, or I've lived in LA for 10 years now, and it really is like I can't imagine living anywhere else. I love it so much. But of course, there's just days where you get maybe kind of frustrated with it or just kind of over it. It's always so funny. The second like you get sick of LA, you're like, I'm going to get out of here, man. And then you go to like Nashville for like a couple of days. You're like, God, I got to get back to LA. it's always a hilarious kind of a flip. But, you know, we're on tour now and it's been awesome. You know, I've actually been sleeping pretty well on the bus, but and we're so blessed to be out here. But I really, you know, I can't wait to get home and get back to, you know, where I live. So.
And one last question then, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, Jake, but is there one line on the album that really stuck out to you, something that really piqued your interest?
There's a lot, but I'm glad we were talking about the song the other day. And home is where the hurt is. Home is where the hurt is. You say, what's the line? So we got to move our feet line, Paul?
Two choices, Sarah Lee. What good is it to dream if we're not going to move our feet?
Yeah, what good is it to dream if we're not going to move our feet? So yeah. That's kind of like, you know, Paul and I, it's like we could have stayed where we were, but we had to get moving. So I love that.
But okay, this is the last thought then. But this dream and the kind of, I suppose to some extent you're living your dream right now. So that bar keeps moving, or those
sure.
things. So where is it now? What how do you see? I don't know if success is the right word for this, but how do you see kind of the thing that you want to get out of this whole thing?
I think I've finally found my answer to this question, which is, and the lights just went off. I don't know if
I saw it
or whatever, but yeah.
So cinematic.
Yeah. I really, all I can really hope for is that whatever album we just put out does well enough that we get to make another one. And whatever tour we're on does well enough where we can afford to go on another one. And to me, that success, because I can't imagine life without this, you know, so many things like accolades and awards and numbers are like we said before, just so out of our control.
Yeah.
And if I put like my hope in those things, they're surely to let me down. So I think as long as like our album does well enough that we can make another one, to me, that's the goal.
And I assume Jake, you agree?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's just awesome when, especially when the studio and when we're finishing the record, just knowing something that we believe in so much that can help someone else, follow their dreams like we followed our dreams, and that we could be kind of like a match that kind of starts that for them. That's the coolest thing.
That's awesome, yeah. Gentlemen, may I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Robin, that was like one of the
Absolutely.